Well, this is what happened when we just sit here for a while. I just bought two video games.
I just sold something. So
Tony made money.
Yeah, Tony was like, I never realized we got podcasts to do. No, I got to make this deal happen. You guys sit tight. Gonna make it rain.
Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 411 of the Nintendo Oki podcast for Monday, April the 23rd, 2018. I'm your host, and joining me, as he does every week, we got Shelby.
I turned on my PS4 the other day, and the first icon in my menu was Destiny 2.
What?
I've never bought Destiny 2. I've never played Destiny 2. I've never put Destiny 2 into my PlayStation, nor do I have PlayStation Plus.
Was the PS4 telling you you need to buy Destiny 2?
I think Ethan hacked my PS4 somehow. I probably deleted it. Well, not probably. I clicked on it like, what the heck is this? How did this show up here? Is this some sort of promotion? No. Can't tell it was. It was just there.
Really?
No idea why.
I have seen a couple of icons pop up on mine, and then they're like, if I click on it, it takes me to the store.
I was afraid to click on it. I didn't know what the heck was going on, but it freaked me out because I have no idea why I was there.
Ethan, did your PS4 just buy Destiny 2 without your knowledge?
I didn't notice that. I better not have.
Did you send him a copy of Destiny 2 without his knowledge, Ethan?
No. I gave up on buying my team, remember?
Well, I thought maybe there was that spark of hope that if you sent a copy to Shelby.
No. I know better than that.
He knows better than that, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea why that was there. It was weird.
I'm not set to auto-download. Even when I did have Plus, I wasn't set to auto-download anything, so I have no idea why it showed up. My Plus thing lapsed a long time ago, like back in January.
Yeah, my 3DS does that a lot, though, too. Nintendo will send me an icon. They're like, hey, we got this demo. You want to download it?
Yeah, I got that. And I usually say no. And they're like, hey, you can make these not show up. I'm like, shut up. Don't tell me what to do.
I'll delete these icons if I want to.
Yeah. Like, I keep this on just in case for some reason you release something useful, which you never do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it's like, oh, there's a new Kirby game or something out, and it has a demo, and it reminds me, so...
Because you don't know that Kirby games are coming out.
I mean, they snuck out, like, Battle Royale kind of snuck up on me. That all of a sudden came out. I wasn't ready for that.
No. I still have that demo on my 3DS. I haven't bought that game yet.
Yeah, it's fun. A little boring after a while, but if you play it with other people, it would probably be better.
My daughter likes to play that demo.
Yeah. It's fun. That apple scramble game is super cool. You beat the heck out of this tree, grab some apples, beat up somebody else, and throw the apples in the hole.
Sounds like a good Saturday night. All right. Well, there you go. Mysterious icons will not appear in this podcast, so you don't have to worry about that.
I don't know. Every now and then I think about putting fake ads into the podcast just to see if anybody notices. Like, just cut these ads for products that don't exist and just see what people do if they, like, track these websites or something like that. But then I'm like, I'm way too lazy to do that.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, cat's out of the bag now.
All right, well, how about we take a quick break? There may or may not be an ad that shows up right here. We'll come back and we'll talk about some video games. All right, Ethan, you get to go first.
Yay,
Ethan goes first. Woo!
Switch it up on these days, make Shelby go first.
I've done that, and he's never prepared for it.
That's not true.
I know, it's funny.
I'm the most prepared. If you ask me right now what games I've played, I will look at this piece of paper that I wrote it all down on, and I'm ready to go.
All right, stop me if you heard this one. Monster Hunter World.
Stop.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Shelby doesn't want to hear about Monster Hunter.
No, I don't know. We'll let it go. We'll see where things go. I'll let you know when I've had too much.
So there was a content update. So kind of like free DLC, I guess you can consider it.
Mm-hmm.
It changed the game over to 3.0. Then the next day, 3.01 patch came out as well.
Yeah, because people figured out, oh no, the dinosaurs don't exist anymore. We need to fix that.
The content update included a new monster that is hunted through what is called siege mode. It's hunted through a siege. So
is it not Devil Joe?
It is not Devil Joe. It is, and I'm probably going to butcher the name on this one because I haven't heard it pronounced in English because I have the Monster Hunterese language switched back on my system now. So
you've got it where it's talking in gibberish or whatever.
It's like backwards Japanese or something. It's really weird. Anyway, this new monster is Kul'Tharoth?
Are you talking about Castlevania? That sounded like a vampire name.
Kul'Tharoth. We'll go with that one. Since it is Japanese, got to get that two-syllable pronunciation. This is a golden monster. He attracts metallic or something to him, and it's usually just gold.
Yeah. And gold, so you have a whole new location. Monster Hunter.
For him, it is.
All right, fine. That's not how science works.
He attracts it to himself. I don't know how he does it.
Neither do I.
Anyway, he is covered head to toe in gold, has a long tail of it as well. And you do this encounter so many times where you're just hitting the gold off of him. He ends up escaping, then you go and encounter him again and again. Eventually, he gets fed up and sheds the gold shell, which every time you break a little piece of it off on the ground, you can go to get it, but there's always these little bugs going and trying to get it as well, and they'll run off with your parts. So you need to steal it back from them.
Money grubbing insects, stealing all my money,
along with taking our Gaja Lakas
bugs. I'm sorry, I'm just making stuff up.
Right. Along with the Gaja Lakas, they're all mining the gold stuff everywhere as well.
I'm sorry, what was that? Gaja Bug?
Yes, that is actually how you say it.
Oh, okay.
Gaja Lakas. Think of them like little pygmy natives? Is that
Pickeries, got it.
Anyway, they are annoying little creatures, and yeah. They're all decked out in gold with their weapons and outfits now as well. And some of them have backpacks full of the stuff. But this monster, he'll shed that skin and the real fight begins. And it's considered a 16-person siege event, but only 4 people can go at a time.
So how does that work?
It's still a normal hunt. It's just, you can have like 4 to up to 16 people that are part of the whole group and they all get credit for it. Okay. Even though only 4 people are doing the hunt at a time.
What? A convoluted possible thing. Gosh, Monster Hunter. Like, people like you now and you're not doing yourself any favors.
So, yeah. The group that I was part of, they finished it while I was doing some other stuff somewhere on another game.
So you got credit for beating it without actually beating it.
Yes, it gave me about 9 or 10 items whenever I got on there. It's like, hey, here's your cut of the monster.
Nice.
It's like they sat down and thought, people like these Dark Souls games and stuff. Like, we've been doing this cryptic stuff for a while. People don't like our game. What if we made it more cryptic? I don't know. Like, we could. What if we made a mode where you take 16 people to play, but only 4 can play? That's crazy. Nobody would ever play that. Monster Hunter World.
I would have loved for this to be like a 16-player raid-style event.
That would actually be really cool to see Monster Hunter groups that big.
That's where I thought this was going until he said he only had four people, which may be some sort of limitation of the game. That's fine, but like, well, have a group of 16 if you only have four. It's like, all right, we're gonna all gonna get together. We're gonna have a big group dinner. Four of us are gonna sit down and eat the food. Everyone else stand outside the restaurant and wait. We'll let you know. We'll bring out a doggy bag or something. We'll let you know how much you got to pay of the bill.
He is so right.
Gosh, Monster Hunter.
I forgot what I was going to say about it now. Thanks, Shelby.
I'm sorry.
But you pretty much nailed the whole issue on the head. I think the only downfall to not being in the party that takes it out is that you don't get to do any carves, which I guess you get to carve it. I don't know. I haven't got to see that yet.
Carve
off
metal?
Do you not get any parts afterwards?
I got parts based on the rank that I was in the siege group, which... we hunted it several times, and it got my reward level up to 11 or 12.
Yeah.
So that's why I got about 9 or 10 items.
Okay.
And they finally brought in the special armor that you can, which you have to get these parts for, but it's armor, it's cosmetic armor that goes over your current armor, so you can look one way and have the stats of another set. But I don't know what the limitations are because I currently can't access it.
Okay. There's some interesting stuff going on in Monster Hunter.
Indeed. The other thing I've been playing, Metal Gear Survive.
Yes.
I have saved the world. Okay. From the Lord of Dust.
Nice.
You dusted the world. You got that Swiffer out. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get this done. Got your Bissell. Walked around. Had your O2 tank. Made sure you had clean water.
Yeah, a lot of clean water. Man.
So, like, did the how in the way... Did the survival stuff in that game ever feel like it was in the way, or is, I mean, it's a survival game.
It feels like it is always in the way on there.
Okay, like, that's the thing is about survival games. Like, resource management stuff is certainly can be fun. I've had my enjoyment with them, but I don't think I've ever really played a survival game or something like that. And that kind of stuff seemed like it would get tedious very fast. I don't know. I need to try one to see. None of them have just ever kind of lined up before.
Yeah, it got real tedious right at the start because your resources are zero. And so you're having to get everything on site, which is super scarce. But as you progress, you have your farms and you have animals in cages. Sorry, Tony, I was thinking about that picture I had taken.
And you find glitches where you laughing about people strapping knives to the Labo stuff.
You can adjust the farm, I found out, or not your farm, but your base, and people who are already on the base, that you can see them in your we'll call it decoration mode. And I may have moved an animal cage somewhere and it put one of the characters inside the cage.
Oh, with yeah, that picture, yeah.
Take that.
That was pretty good. But yeah, after you get your farm and water supplies going, everything on there's more or less good to go, then it's just knowing whenever you have to go and eat and drink, and then if you're out in the dust, it's still monitor your air supply, and that can be really annoying because there's never an upgrade to make the air supply last longer than it is.
I want to propose an idea to you gentlemen.
Okay.
I want somebody to take Metal Gear Survive and cut the game down the middle and make it co-op so that Ethan can do all the scouting stuff where you run around and you fight the things and you do the Metal Gear 5 V type combat-y stuff, and Tony can handle all the parts that sound like a farming simulator, and you guys co-op that game.
That would make for an interesting experience.
Well, it's like after you have the thing set up, your people on base just automatically grow your food for you.
Yeah, Tony.
I'm just an NPC.
That's the worst things you could be.
I guess it's true.
I mean, you like farming simulators. If you're an NPC that gets to farm, I mean, you seem like you'd be okay with that.
I would be, yeah.
There's some stuff I really want to say about this game, but there are people listening that haven't played it, and I want them to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would fall into some spoiler stuff.
Okay.
But I was really excited whenever a certain event occurred, and then, yeah.
Metal Gear-ish type stuff still happens in a game called Metal Gear Survive. Not surprising.
Imagine that.
Oh, I did encounter a monster on there that I didn't know existed in the game.
Devil Joe. Came walking out of the fog. Like, oh man!
No, after you get like halfway through the story, you end up in a new location and you encounter new enemies. And then you eventually you're hopping back and forth between locations A and B.
Okay.
And I encountered the basic wanderer, zombie, the first encounter thing you have. I encountered one of them, except they were like on fire, glowing red, and I could do no damage to them.
Crimson Head, got it.
Yeah, but you can at least fire the Crimson Head. These things, it's like hit, it says no damage at all.
Huh. We got to put them out like a bucket of water?
I don't know. I kept doing the backstab on the same one repeatedly and like throwing him around. And Eventually I just grabbed the guy that I was supposed to be rescuing and just made a run for it.
Huh. What if they're unkillable? There's got to be something you can do. Maybe you just have to have like some sort of weird research or something.
I don't know. But I'm using like really good weapons on there at the moment. Not the best, but
Better
than it's almost the best. We'll go with that. So, yeah, all I have left on there is a bunch of just multiplayer stuff, really, and maybe some hidden bosses that are in the game.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you only paid $17 for it, and you're thoroughly enjoying it, so that's awesome.
They dropped the price to $15 earlier this week. So it was less than what I paid for it.
Yeah, he told me that, and I said, you got ripped off then.
Yeah, no kidding. They owe you $2.
Izzy sent me, like, a screenshot of him buying it or something. He got it like for $14.
Nice.
Seriously?
Game is 2 months old.
It is actually really, it's really good for what it is. It wasn't even a full price game. It was like $40. So.
Oh, was it $40? No, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was $60.
Yeah, so I paid less than half. I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's cool that the game is cheaper. I mean, I think that's a sign that the game is not doing well, which is unfortunate, but...
Well, that's Konami's fault, really.
They haven't done themselves a lot of favors. I mean, they made a new Metal Gear game to their credit, you know? I realize it's not an over-the-top, huge, like, Kojima-esque thing, but, I mean, they made a new Metal Gear game, and it doesn't sound... I mean, you're enjoying it, so it doesn't sound terrible, so that's... I think they've done something right. But yeah,
it's not the Metal Gear we wanted, but it's the Metal Gear we got, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And I would even like to see like Kojima give it a serious try and give thoughts on theirs one of these days, but I don't think he'll do it.
Yeah. Do you think he's ever actually going to play that game?
Probably not. Has he ever played Snake's Revenge on the NES?
I don't think he did.
Probably not.
I know he's insulted like the first Metal Gear on NES because there's no Metal Gear in it.
There isn't?
No.
How did they mess that up?
They replaced it with a computer.
With a computer?
Yeah, you fight a computer instead of a Metal Gear. Which it's just in a standby mode and you have to blow up the legs, but replacing it with a computer, so. I don't know, maybe they had like a limitation on the chipset for that.
Just make the Metal Gear not move. Just make it stand still and shoot the lasers. I mean, it just walked back and forth.
It didn't move. It didn't move at all. They had lasers securing it up from above.
That was the MSX version?
In the first Metal Gear.
In MSX Metal Gear? I thought the thing walked back and forth. It didn't move much, but I thought it walked some.
No, it didn't move at all. There's a couple of lasers that are on a path just moving back and forth above it.
Anyway.
Yeah, more you know. Hmm. Just before the show, I was streaming Portal 2 without Tony.
Yeah, I saw that.
Finally gave Tony the boot, huh? Like, you're not pulling your weight around here, Miller. Gonna go back to playing this solo.
I was playing single player mode.
Okay. You weren't playing the co-op by yourself. That's good.
No.
I'd have felt real bad for Tony if you decided that nobody would be better than him playing with you.
I'm not that bad at the game.
I know. This is why I'm relieved. I thought that's where this conversation was going.
We'll have to do some more streaming of that this week.
Yeah, we'll have to pick a day for that. That's pretty much all I've been playing.
What are you buying?
I got my copy of Yakuza 6 in this week.
Yeah, me too.
I have an opening. It's here on the floor next to me.
Did you get the Song of Life or the Essence of Art edition? Whatever. The Song of Life is a subtitle. Song of Life.
The premium one with the bar.
You got the glasses. Super fan. You got the Micah edition, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I got the.
Is that the official name for that now? Is the Micah edition?
I mean, it should be if they know what their marketing's doing. I mean, he's gonna buy it anyway. But if they put his name on, they should put his name on it for as much money as he's thrown and as much love as he's given that, and the way he has spread the Yakuza word, he deserves a nod. I got the Essence of Art one, which came with the book. And the book's cool and all, but I put it on the shelf and I was kind of mad because it's taller than normal cases, which is fine, but it sticks out. It's wider. Like, it doesn't hang on the shelf. It's hanging over. Like, come on. What are you doing? And I was mad about that for about 15 seconds, and then I left that room and totally forgot. It's just dumb. It just looks stupid sitting on the shelf.
Yeah,
so instead, I just have this huge box that doesn't fit anywhere in my collection.
Yeah, now you got all these whiskey stones, and you got all those glasses, and I'm pretty sure those whiskey stones.
Those things are pretty cool. I haven't opened the box, but I know those things are pretty cool because they replace ice cubes.
Yeah, I don't know how well that works. We were talking about that the other week before the show.
Wow, I threw a pun out there, and you just skimmed by it.
I didn't hear
those whiskey stones are pretty cool.
No, I didn't hear. I think the internet blanked out, maybe. Or maybe I just didn't.
Whatever. No, I tried. I failed the pun master, so great. Just, what have you been playing, Shelby? I'm disappointed now.
Oh, man. Ethan's all sad now.
You have made Ethan sad.
I have been playing the same video games that I have been playing for like the last 6 months.
At least you're getting longevity out of them.
You know what? I get my money's worth out of these things. And then this is what happens when you only have like 5 hours a week to play video games and you decide to play two Japanese RPGs at the same time. Because I make good decisions. Persona 2 Eternal Punishment. Nothing notable has happened in that. Also, Blue Reflection. Something notable has happened in that. So remember I was saying, I think it was last week, I was having trouble with the boss fight. I figured out why.
Okay.
So my good buddy Shannon was saying on the show a couple weeks ago that if you change the difficulty settings to hard, you get better drops.
Yeah.
And apparently I took his advice and switched the difficulty setting to hard and forgot.
Ooh.
And was getting my, that's why this boss was just stomping me into the ground. So I put it on normal and it was no problem whatsoever.
Well, that's good.
But I guess that's a testament to how unbalanced the normal fights are, because I totally forgot the game was on hard and had no problems with like the normal battles or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that boss fight was, it was a doozy. So I put it on normal, beat that boss, put it back on hard, and I'll just have to remember. So in 3 weeks or so, when I'm complaining I'm stuck on another boss, somebody remind me that I put the game on hard.
At least you're not on easy and you're having that trouble.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was like, well, I can't get past this on normal. I'll bump it down to easy, see if I can get past this, because I would like to see the game through and just see where the story goes. But I was like, oh, yeah, it's on hard. Right, that's a thing I did. Which I don't know why I'm concerned about the drops, because I don't think I've ever once used an item in that game. There's like this whole crafting thing, and I go to this shrine to do craft this stuff, or this pillar of light sticking out of the ground, and the thing I want to craft, I don't have enough stuff for. And then, like, all this other stuff I can craft, but it seems completely worthless. So I'm like, well, nope, not going to do this.
Have, like, sounds like Metal Gear Survive to me.
I have, like, 13 different kinds of food. Each one will restore health a little bit, but, like, why would I use these? I have plenty of magic to store health, and I don't know. I got this gal that shows up, and she hits a tennis ball at this giant tank, and it blows up, like, whatever. Kind of sounds like Persona sometimes when I talk about it like that. Persona Cross Sailor Moon, that's what we got. So anyway, I got past that boss fight and did some more. I'm probably about halfway through the game at this point. So yeah, I'm going to try to see that through the end. I just want to see where that story goes. I've played some more Girls und Panzer Dream Tank Match today, and okay, I got credits on that.
Nice.
I got through the story mode, which, how long was that? I don't know. It was maybe about 6 hours of story mode, five hours and 45 minutes of that were all visual novel talking. Oh. Which you could totally skip all that stuff. I just wanted to hear that stuff. It was all really good. But once I got through the story and kind of heard all the dialogue once, I kind of started going back through things and playing some of the different options. When you go through one of those story mode matches, you'd be like, hey, you can be this person, or this person. Sometimes you have multiple choices, so I was playing through some of the different characters. And skipping that dialogue's way faster. Like, I can get in and out, like, 15 seconds or something like that for some of the shorter missions.
Wow.
Then I started poking around with some of the free play stuff, because I unlocked a pretty good chunk of stuff going through the story modes. I got a bunch of tanks and characters, so I was kind of playing around with some of that stuff. Dip my toe into some of these other modes. There's a mode where you can kind of think of it as a secondary, smaller story, where you pick one of the schools from the show and you play through like a set of five matches that are kind of, they say they're randomly generated, but I played through some of them a couple times and got, they were very similar, we'll put it that way. But that was fun. It was kind of a knockout mode thing where you got to win five matches in a row, and if you lose, you have to start all over, which was heartbreaking because I kept dying on the same fifth match. Because you had to, like, run this gauntlet or on this cliff, and I just kept driving my tank off into oblivion because I was trying to go too fast, and I had to start all over. So that wasn't fun. But then I realized that if I pause it right before it says game over and, like, exit out and go back in, like, oh, do you want to continue? Yes. And then I just got to start that match over. So I figured out that little Girls und Panzer Dream Tank Match hack shirt.
Or saves coming.
Whatever you want to call it. Hey, I didn't have to play through all four things again.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So that game's fun. There's a ton of stuff to unlock. Like, I haven't even gotten a quarter or a fifth of all the stuff. Like, it seems like there's plenty of characters and tanks, which I knew. But there are a ton of decals and different things. Like, you know those Japanese cars that people, like, paint them up and to look like anime characters and do all that kind of crazy, wacky stuff with it? Mm-hmm. You can basically do that with these tanks. So here's what you do. You want your tank to look like some sort of Japanese hot rod. You get a tank, you drive over to the side of the map, and you look for all these teddy bears, and you shoot them with the tank. And it goes, good job, you got a decal.
That's how it works, man.
And you stick those decals on your tank, and I imagine there's probably some pretty awesome-looking tanks in online mode. I'll have to make some sort of like Asian PSN account so I can check that stuff out. I'm sure my ping will be fantastic, by the way. But yeah, it's a cool thing in the movie, the Girls und Panzer. There's this teddy bear called Boko, and he is just this teddy bear who keeps getting into fights and just gets the snot beat out of him every time. And so he's always like bandaged up, like his arms in a sling. He's got a black eye. And the point of the character in the show, like, oh, he gets beat up, but he always gets back up and tries again. And that's the thing. But it's just funny to drive around and see all these beat-up teddy bears. Just like, he's got a crutch, you know, he's got a broken leg, and like half an ear is missing. And you shoot him with a tank. So that's a good time. And also, I have doubled down on good pizza, great pizza.
Really?
I am happy to announce I have all the toppings unlocked.
Nice.
Yeah, so tell you what, I saved up for that topping guide. Whew, game breaking.
Really?
Once you know, well, I don't know. Once you know where those toppings go, you can make better pizzas and people give you bigger tips.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good. But
that's the point of the game.
Something I did not realize is the toppings are not as complicated as I thought. You put, it's the same pattern for every topping. It's just three. Which I thought, three of each. Yeah, I didn't realize it was that simple. But even, given that little guide, it makes it easier to put the stuff on there in the right way. And so, yeah, I've got all the toppings. I've yet to play. I just unlocked the olives last I played because it was the last topping I unlocked because I don't like black olives.
I think I got olives. I'm just trying to get them in the order they appear on the thing. And olives were the last one I've got, so I don't know how many I still need to get.
Probably onions and bell peppers, I think, are the last two after
that. I think that's it, yeah.
Olives are gross.
Olives are gross.
Yeah, I don't like olives.
Yay.
It's consensus.
But yeah, getting that, I'm able to make money pretty quickly now. Like, people are showing up and ordering three pizzas at a time at some point here and there. So, yeah, making three pizzas, they drop like a $20 tip on you. That's pretty good. Making money a lot faster. So now I guess I'm going to start kind of maybe buying some of the other stuff. I don't know if I'm going to go super deep and buy all the different, like, decorations and things like that, but, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what all those do, if there's, like, any real point to those, or if they literally are just decorative items for your restaurant.
I think some of them are just different cosmetics. Like, I think the signs and the pizza boxes, I don't think that stuff is necessarily does anything for you. If it doesn't have any, if the description doesn't say it does anything, I think it's just cosmetic at that point.
Yeah, I don't even want to get any of the, like, neon signs. I like that first neon sign I've gotten.
It's simple, yeah. It's simple and good. I like it now where I feel like I got my regulars. You know, people come in. Well, I think it's probably just a random combination of, like, this character says this thing. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of cool when people show up. Like, somebody just shows up, give me a za. Like, I know what that means now. You just want a plain pepperoni pizza coming right up. People come in and say, BP for ME, you want a bell pepper pizza, you got it. So I'm starting to crack the code. That's kind of fun.
You've learned the pizza language.
A little bit, yeah. People are going to start throwing a curveball at me with these olives now. But I haven't had somebody come in and say, give me the works. But it's probably coming.
Yeah, I don't know if I've had, you know, anything like that pop up either. And I've only had a couple people ask for things that I don't have, toppings that I don't have. It has happened.
I had a lady show up, can I get a hot dog? And I was like, no. Like, all right, see you later. That was weird.
At least she was nice about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was like, do you want a pizza? I could probably throw some sausage on there for you. No, didn't want anything. Wanted a hot dog. All right, lady. Come back later. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for stopping by.
When you want a pizza, let me know.
Yeah, we'll be here.
He failed the bonus game.
What are you buying?
So, where do I start? I'm not sure what caused this. Maybe it was seeing that trailer for the Mega Man Legacy X collection, or Mega Man X Legacy collection. But I got the Mega Man itch, Tony.
Uh oh. You should probably see a doctor.
Yeah, well, you know what? They gave me this Mega Man, this Mega Cream, but it makes it mega. You know what? That's not funny. We're not going to go there. There's nothing funny down that road. I picked up the Mega Man Legacy Collection on PS4. Now, okay. I know what you're saying. Why would I buy a video game that I already own once? Why would I buy video games that I already own multiple times?
You own Mega Man quite a few times.
So I have all six of those games on NES. I have the Mega Man Legacy Collection on 3DS, which is probably not the best version, honestly, because the audio sounds bad. And I'm going to buy it on Switch, because that's the kind of special person I am. But I bought it on PS4. Why? I have a problem. That's why. But that wasn't enough.
You like Mega Man.
I do like Mega Man. That wasn't enough for me, though.
Okay.
So I got on eBay, like, all right, I'm gonna start finishing out the other Mega Man series that I don't have. Because I got all the Mega Man games. minus, I don't have Mega Man 8 on Saturn. I've never really been able to find that one for a price that's not completely unreasonable.
So are you looking for X and Zero and things like that right now?
I already got all the X games, again, minus Mega Man X4 on Saturn, because, again, it's ridiculously expensive and never in good shape. I could get, like, disc only for, like, a song, but, like, you kind of want the case and stuff, you know, and Saturn cases are always destroyed. I have all the Zero games. I have all the ZX games, and by all I mean both, because there's only two. So that leaves Star Force, that leaves Battle Network, and I have the Legends games, all digital.
Uh-huh.
And that's enough, because like trying to get a copy of like Mega Man Legacy 2, well, Mega Man Legends 2, those are unusually expensive for some reason. I don't know if it's a low print game. Like, they're out there, but people want to charge a bunch for them, more than I want to pay. And if I have them digitally, hey, I can play them. That's good enough for me.
Oh, that Misadventures of Tron Bond's super expensive.
Yeah, those are both really expensive. And I have both of those off of PSN, and they're all on my Vita, so, like, whatever. I don't need them. It'd be cool to have the discs, but I don't want to spend, like, $80 or whatever for those discs. That's too much. But I do kind of want those Battle Network and Star Hunter games. Star Force. Looking at the show notes, and I saw the word Star and Monster Hunter and got excited. They're all Capcom. So I got on eBay and found something that was like three of these Mega Man Star Force games together, all for like $40. I'm like, all right, that kind of breaks down where it's like, you know, $15 a piece or something like that, or $12 a piece. That's a pretty good deal.
Yep.
Looked at the pictures and thought, well, the color looks a little off. They must have like been next to a bright window when they took this picture. I'm sure it's fine. Right over the description, they're like, yeah, they're used, but they're in the case. They come with the manual, all this stuff. I'm like, all right, this sounds like a pretty good deal. I'm surprised nobody else has bought this yet. Didn't think any further than that before I clicked buy it now. Shipped super fast. Got here like 3 days later and opened them up. And hey, these are aftermarket crappy third-party cases. Hey, these are just inserts printed off of a printer on a piece of paper, and it's super low quality because they're all pixelated. Hey, look at that! One of these isn't even the right game!
Oh, my.
Yeah, so, like, this is unacceptable. So I got on the thing, like, no returns. Like, well, great.
Of course.
Luckily, it was covered by the eBay security thing. So I like, opened up the thing and said, yo, this is not good for these reasons.
Not what you bought.
Yeah. And luckily, they'd sent one of the games were flat out wrong. Otherwise, I may have got a little bit more of a hassle because I scrolled down further. And in the secret third description of this eBay sale is where it said, hey, these are aftermarket cases, and they don't come with the manuals.
I'm
like, all right, well, I need to be a little more careful with that. But luckily, they returned them. I shipped them out. I should be getting my money back for those pretty soon. But yeah, definitely, I don't know. You try to be careful on eBay, but every now and then, you miss one, I guess. Thank goodness for eBay buyer protection.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I said, my copy of Yakuza 6 showed up, and it doesn't fit on the shelf quite right, and it looks goofy, but, like, whatever. It bugs me that it sticks out over the shelf. And then I was like, I should buy the original version, the normal case version. And I thought, nope, that would be dumb, and then left the room. And since it took us a while to start this show, we sat here for a while. I bought Shadow of the Colossus and Last Guardian at the same time, because apparently...
You can blame me for those purchases.
Yep, that's all your fault, and you want to sell your NES Mini.
Sorry, I was selling stuff.
But yeah, like Shadow of the Colossus had dropped to like $30 on Amazon. I was like, huh, that's a good price. I wonder if Best Buy price matched that. They totally did, so I got that for like $24 with the Gamer Club thing. And as I was checking out, Best Buy was like, hey, you know, you want to check out some of these other games? We got Last Guardian for $15. I'm like, really? Oh, no, you don't. You have Last Guardian for $12, so I get 20% off. Bye. And so there's two more games that'll sit on the shelf that I... So, yeah, I bought Shadow of the Colossus for a third time now, so maybe I will finally finish that game. Probably not. We shall see. I would like to play both those games, but I gotta stop playing two Japanese RPGs at the same time.
That makes it hard to play games.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, first world problems. Like, oh no, I have too many video games to play because blah, 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 blah. I know, I sound hoity-toity. I'm sorry. Tony, why don't you tell me about something you have been playing?
What's up? So I've been playing a game. It comes out this week.
Yeah.
On Thursday is the time people are hearing this. That I think you may be very interested in.
Good pizza, great pizza.
Yes, it is coming to the iPhone and Android devices. So check that out. No, it's got a strange name. I'm not really sure about the name yet, but the gameplay itself is something I think you may really be interested in. It's called A Robot Called Fight. That's the name of the game.
That's such a great name.
And I'm assuming it's just because you play as a robot whose name is Fight, but I don't know.
That checks out. That would make sense.
So, but the game in the press release that was sent to me is described as a Metroglite. I thought, that's an interesting description.
Like a Metroid roguelike?
Yes.
Interesting.
So this is a 2D side-scrolling platformer that is heavily influenced by Metroid. You can see it in everything. The way the character moves, the way the character shoots, the way they control. You're using the shoulder buttons to do 45 degree up and down aiming, like in Super Metroid.
Right.
When you jump, you jump normally, but if you jump while you're moving, you do a spin jump like Samus does. It is very, very, very heavily influenced by Metroid.
Oh, yes. I'm looking at some pictures now. You are not wrong.
So what it is it is a rogue-like platformer where every time you press start, the game is different. Mm. So the levels are laid out different, items are laid out different. Bosses are laid out different, things like that. The way they get you to progress further and further as you go is that as you're playing through the levels, there will be hidden rooms and things just like in a Metroid game where you can find items. And you don't always get those items right away. A lot of times it'll say, you've unlocked this item. It'll be available in future playthroughs. And so that item that you've unlocked then gets tossed into the mix of things that you can find as you're playing through the game.
Okay.
It is set up. There are doors that are blocked. You shoot the door, it opens up. There are, items just like in Metroid, where I keep wanting to like push down twice to go into morph ball mode, but you don't do that in this game. What you do is instead Metroid you turn into crawl, this like, huh? You turn into this like spider. And so you push down an A to turn into this spider that so that you can do things like you would normally be able to do in morph ball mode in Metroid.
This looks a little gory.
It is. I mean, it's one of the variables you can turn up or down. So if you don't want any of that in there at all, you can turn that completely off.
Okay. That's a plus. I'm not a big fan of the weird blood covered walkways and stuff.
But yeah, as you shoot monsters, it covers everything in blood. But you can turn that off. And after the first couple of playthroughs, I thought this is a little excessive. And I did turn that off.
Can you turn off the thousand mouth eye monster over here?
No, you cannot turn that off.
Well, can't win them all.
There's a flamethrower in the game that's actually really cool, and it was really handy against the first boss. It made the first boss super easy to fight. So if you find this, the first boss fight you have in the game is going to be really easy. And it is like this thousand eye monster thing, but
pulsating moon size orb of flesh, eyes, mouth, and reproductive organs known as the Mega Beast.
So, okay. But with the flamethrower, if you are firing that as you jump, the flames will spin around you.
That sounds cool. Like a screw attack?
Yeah.
Nice.
And that comes in handy quite a bit if there are some things. And I found the first boss that you fight is really susceptible to fire, so it makes it incredibly easy to beat them. But it does. It feels like a Metroid game, but it's a game that's going to be different every time you go in. So you're not going to be able to learn the layout. That's why I think there's a story in here somewhere. I haven't really found it. So I can't tell you anything about the story itself, but the gameplay is really good. It feels really solid. It feels like they've spent a lot of time playing Metroid games in the past, and they wanted to make something like that, but not just a straight Metroid inspired game.
Okay.
And I think it's $12 on the eShop. So.
These bullet points here, when they say replay your favorite runs using seeds, that's kind of promising. Like, you can just basically...
Yeah. Cause so,
as much as whenever procedurally generated stuff is cool, it would be... I don't know. It wouldn't quite be the same feel as a Metroid that I'd be looking for if it was different every time. So being able to have, like, hey, I can just play this map till I find it and kind of know my way around, that would be more fun for me.
You absolutely could do that. Whenever you... I haven't played through the same map multiple times. I've been trying to, you know, see what the roguelike stuff is in the game. But when you die, it does, I think when you die, it does give you a seed number that you can put into the menu when you first start, so that if you want to play that map again, you can do that.
I like that they give you that option.
So if you wanted to say the first playthrough I get, that is going to be my version of the game. You can do that, and you can just play through that version of the game over and over and over again, collecting the new items that will then unlock as you play through the game.
Yeah, that's cool.
So in that way, you could turn it into a pretty much straight Metroid-inspired platformer. I think it is one of the first games I've ever seen or played that is a roguelike that lets you do that.
Yeah, I haven't ever heard of that before. I know Minecraft has the seed kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but I don't know that it's the same every time. Maybe it is.
With Minecraft, I think if you give someone a seed number, they basically get the same world that you're playing in.
Yeah, but I've never heard of that in a roguelite like type game, whatever the heck saying is.
I haven't either.
A game what plays like Rogue kind of did.
So I'm digging it so far. I've probably put a couple hours into it. I don't know how long it would take me to actually, you know, beat the game, so to speak. But I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that game this week. So next week I'll have some more stuff to talk about. I'll check out the using the same seed over and over again and seeing how that works, and I'll tell you about that kind of stuff next week.
Cool. All right.
And how that works. But that is all I've been playing without talking to the merchant.
What are you buying?
Usually you're all like, I don't need to talk to the merchant, but this week you apparently got something. I'm looking.
Yeah, I got a couple things. Nothing super, terribly, interesting, I guess. But I picked up a couple of old handheld games this week that I've been playing through. One I knew I was going to like the second I bought it, and that was the reason I bought it. And another one that I'm playing through and I'm finding I wasn't thinking I was going to enjoy this game as much as I have been. The one I bought purposely and haven't had a chance to really play as Dragon Warrior 1 and 2 for the Game Boy Color.
Okay. Mm. You're a fan of the Dragon Warrior Dragon Quest franchise?
That I am, and I've heard some people talking about how good this version of those games was. I played a few minutes of it, not a ton, but I've noticed a couple little differences. Like, some of the enemy names are different in this version of the game.
A Slimmel draws near. Whoa, okay.
So, the first one I noticed was a ghost. In the NES version of the game and in future games, they're called ghosts. But in the Game Boy version of the game, they're called spookies.
Spookies is pretty funny.
So, I'm not sure what that name change is about. But it's interesting. And then, of course, the text, the dialogue is different, is updated compared to the NES version of the game. They went in and made some changes to the texts, and then some other just quality of life type things, like where normally you would have to go into the menu to go downstairs or open a door. Now you just walk up to them. And if you have a key, the door will unlock. And if you touch stairs, you just automatically go down them. Which in the NES, in the NES version, there were separate menu things where you had to open the menu and say, I wanted to go through the door or go down the stairs, things like that.
Okay.
It's like a whole new game.
It essentially is. So I'm interested in playing through that. Now that I've got this, I'm going to have to get Dragon Warrior 3 for the Game Boy, though.
Yep. You have to get all the amiibo.
So I have all the amiibo for it, thankfully.
Oh, okay. Great. Good job.
No, and then the game that I have put more time into, unexpectedly, Sonic Advance for the GBA.
Okay, so is this like the Mario Advance stuff, where this is just one of the Sonic games, or is this a unique game?
This is a unique game. This is not just like Sonic 1 for the Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
I was initially just surprised by how good it looks. Like, I think this is one of the better looking Sonic games, and I don't know if it's just because that the GBA and DS era is sort of like the best, I think, the best era for pixel art on those systems.
They knock some good stuff out, yeah.
So, but it looks really good, and the levels are really interesting. I think I'm almost done with the game, actually, for Sonic. I'm in the fifth set of levels, and I think there are six in the game, so I'm almost done playing through the game as Sonic. You can play through as Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, or Amy Rose.
Awesome. I'm happy to hear Amy.
I've almost completely finished it with Sonic. I went ahead and I tried playing as Tails, and I finished through the first two sets of levels for Tails. And then playing as Amy Rose, I've only done the first level. She plays quite a bit differently than the other ones, and so it takes me a little bit of time to wrap my head around the way she plays, because with Sonic and Tails, when they jump, they do that spin that they can use to attack enemies. She doesn't do that. She carries her hammer around, and you specifically have to hit a button to swing the hammer rather than just jumping. So the levels are the same, and so I've played through it as Sonic and Tails, and I'm trying to do the same thing with her, and every time I jump to try to get through a section I would normally do with Sonic, I'm losing rings because she doesn't have that same attack that they do.
Man, four really awesome characters in a platformer like that. Man, the whatever game was it? New Supes on Wii that had Blue Toad and Yellow Toad? Like, come on.
Yeah.
That was always so lame. Like, just give us a Toad. Give us Toad. I'd be happy with that. And then, like, you got Wario, you got
Waluigi, you got Daisy. Peach,
Daisy, you got all these characters. Yoshi. I can't. Still a little mad that they didn't do that.
Well, they couldn't use Yoshi because Yoshi was already in the game.
Yeah,
could be Yoshi riding another Yoshi. What's wrong with that? So many things.
So, but yeah, I think the game is just a couple hours long if you play through really quickly. And I found I've almost finished. The game is Sonic. So okay. I did not like the boss fight underwater, though.
Yeah, not surprising. Are you telling me an underwater level in a video game wasn't that great?
Well, I think the thing was, it seems like the underwater timer in the level was incredibly inconsistent. Sometimes I'd have the ability to spend quite a bit of time underwater before that 5-second countdown would happen, and sometimes it seemed like 5 seconds after I started the level, that countdown was starting, and so and then the only way to get air in the level, these icicles are falling from the ceiling, and you have to jump onto an icicle and then jump so that you can clear the
water line for a brief
the moment. Water line, yeah. And it's not incredibly easy to do.
Yeah. I don't know why they keep making Sonic go underwater. He hates water.
Yeah. So I would have been perfectly okay if they didn't put any of those underwater levels in the game. But they always seem to.
Why does every video game developer like, no, we're going to do it. We're finally going to do the underwater level right this time. All those other people, we're going to fix all the mistakes that have been done. And it's the same thing. It's like, it's an underwater level. It's annoying. Nobody likes it.
So... I'm looking to finish that up here pretty soon. And then maybe I'll have to see if I can find Sonic Advance 2.
Then all the
amiibo. Once, once you start a series, you have to finish the series, right? Is that a rule?
I think around here it is, yeah.
Yeah.
There's like three of those or something, right?
I think so. I think there are three of them.
Then you have to
Are you going to do the Chow Garden stuff?
I don't even know what that stuff is. I saw it on the menu, but I don't know.
If you have a GameCube and Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, you can take them out of the game and put them into your Game Boy and take them with you.
Okay.
And then you can put them back in the full game.
You know, have to move on to like the Sonic Rush games on DS. Then you got to play Dark Brotherhood, and next thing you know, you're playing Sonic 3 and Adventure 2, and you're buying a Dreamcast, and you're hooking a VMU up to another VMU to get the right Chow, and it's a dark road.
And then you're doing Chow races.
Yeah. Man, Chow races, when you know you've hit rock
bottom. I would love to see a 16. Was it 16? 4 times. I think it's 8. 8-person Chow race. That'd be pretty cool.
Okay.
Is Dark Brotherhood, is that the RPG? That
BioWare RPG, yeah.
That's the one Sonic game I haven't played that I am still kind of interested in checking out.
I was always kind of interested in it, too. I just never got around to it. I heard good things.
I heard it's unfinished, or that, well, like, it's got, like, a sequel that's never going to happen.
Oh, so the story, maybe it ends on a cliffhanger that's never resolved?
Yeah, that's what I heard, but I'm not going to confirm it. So.
I'm pretty sure you get to roll around with, like, Big the Cat and stuff in your party. That sounds all right.
There you go. Big the Cat. He needs to come back. He needs to be in Sonic Mania.
Big the Cat didn't get the respect he deserves, dang it.
Is he the Daisy of the Sonic world?
No.
Or the Waluigi of the Sonic world?
Sadly enough, Big the Cat gets way more respect than Daisy ever gets. But, sad as I hate to admit it, but I don't know. People, I was once among those people that thought Big the Cat was no good, but I didn't know. I didn't realize my mistake.
You did see the error of your ways, though.
I did. Thanks to those Sonic comics, I've found a new love for all those Sonic characters. So, and then they stopped making them.
Did none of us pick up Labo this week?
Nah, I have next to no interest in Labo.
Okay. I'll probably have it by this time next week, but I was just curious if anybody put any time into it.
No.
So, well, that is it for me. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the news. Our first news story. NBA Playgrounds 2 was announced this week.
Have they finished the first one yet?
The first one is finished, yes. I mean, we all remember the trouble the developer had with the first game, specifically regarding the Switch version of the game. The other versions, they worked. They had all their stuff. They got new updates pretty regularly. But the Switch version of the game launched with no online play and a few other things missing, and it took them forever to get everything working on that. And you remember it took so long that they eventually gave everybody that bought the game before June of last year a free copy of Shaq Fu when it releases. But they announced this week with Shaq Fu is coming up in June, I believe, is the release for that. But later this year, NBA Playgrounds 2 will be out for the Xbox One, the PS4, PC, and Switch.
All right, well, is it actually going to launch for Switch at the same time as everything else?
That is the plan as of right now that they've announced.
I bet they are making darn sure all their ducks in a row so that game doesn't launch as bad as it did the last time.
Yeah, I don't think they want to have that happen 2 times in a row.
Right.
And here's the thing. Once they did get that first game working, it was actually really good.
Right.
I had a ton of fun with it. It's just that it took forever for them to get all of the features and all of the new characters and all the modes and things like that into the Switch version of the game. Well, this new one is going to have new stuff as well. A new ranked league featuring both solo and co-op divisions for people that are interested in playing competitively online. There will be a season mode, which you didn't have in the first game.
Oh, okay.
It was strictly limited to little tournaments. This is going to be more like an NBA season type schedule for games, where you will play a regular season and then you'll do the playoffs and you'll finish up trying to win the NBA championship. And they are going to allow for four players to play online together now. I think previously it was one-on-one, but you'll now be able to play two humans versus two humans. So,
wait, two human? What?
Not two human. Two human players versus two human players.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say two human never got a sequel.
No, it didn't. And then they're also going to bring back all of the modes from the previous version of the game. So.
All right, well, hopefully this launch goes smoother. Otherwise, I'll have to make Shaq Fu 3 to make up for it.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, let's hope Shaq Fu 3 never happens.
You never. This new one may be good. You never
I'm
know.
I'm joking. I realize this. Yes.
I'm not so sure yet, but we shall see.
I mean, expectations are low. I'm sure you'll get a smile out of playing that game. Whether or not you'll ever want to play it again remains to be seen, but hey.
Yeah.
Making video games is hard.
That it is. That's why I've never made one.
Yeah, me neither.
Sounds like quitter's talk.
I'm not smart enough to do that kind of stuff. You kidding me?
I did give up. I tried, but...
Oh.
So, there you go. NBA Playgrounds 2 will be out later this year. A little bit of bad news for people that were interested in Dark Souls on the Switch. Hasn't been canceled. It's just been delayed by a couple of months, probably.
Huh.
It needs that extra time to get good.
Yeah, the game was supposed to be out on May 25th, and it still will be for Xbox One and PS4. And I think PC as well. But anybody that was wanting to get the game on Switch, they have delayed it into the summer. They have not given a firm release date for the new release, but it will not launch on May 25th with the other versions.
What's the reason?
They did not give a reason.
Oh, great.
Other than they need to make the game, I guess. They want to give you the best experience on the Switch.
All right, well, gotta do what they gotta do. I'd rather they delay it than release the game busted and fix it later.
Exactly.
Looking at you, NBA Playgrounds.
I'm perfectly fine. Anytime a developer says, hey, we need a little bit more time, fine. Take all the time you need. I'd rather you take the time, release the game in its best form,
yeah,
than make me have to play a broken version of the game
100%
and wait for it to be fixed. So this will be delayed. They are also delaying the release of the Amiibo as well.
Oh, no!
So they don't want you to have the Amiibo and have to wait 2 months to be able to use the Amiibo.
I don't want to have the Amiibo.
So, but you'll have to wait a little bit longer to get it, Shelby.
All right. Well, you know what? My goofy Dark Souls Amiibo, I think I can wait. I don't even want the thing. I just buy it because it's Amiibo and I'm stupid.
You like Amiibo. No.
I do. They're cool toys. I have zero reverence for Dark Souls, but have zero reverence for Monster Hunter Stories, and that didn't keep me from buying those darn things, so.
And there are, what, six of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. And then our last news story this week. Konami announced a new Castlevania game.
Huh?
Konami announced a new
Castlevania. Here we go.
No. It's not Castlevania 5. It's called Castlevania Grimoire of Souls.
No, not Castlevania 5. Castlevania Survive.
Sorry. Yeah, Castlevania Survive. Sorry. No, it is called Castlevania Grimoire of Souls. And it is a 2D Castlevania game.
I feel like you're setting me up for something, Miller.
I am. It is going to be released for mobile only.
There it is.
There's the catch.
Remember back, I want to say around 2010, when every video game developer was like, man, mobile's where it's at. We're going to make all these mobile games. We're going to stop making these dumb console games no much. We're all going to get into mobile. and now everybody lost their rear ends trying to make all these cruddy mobile games that nobody wanted to play because they were just trying to port their normal stuff to a phone. And like, this doesn't work without a D-pad, y'all.
So, Konami hasn't gotten that message yet.
Apparently. I mean, I'm surprised they're making games at all. So, I mean, is this or a pachinko machine, right?
Right now, yeah.
So, what's the pitch?
This is a 2D side-scrolling Castlevania game. It'll have a co-op mode for up to four players.
Okay.
As well as a four-player competitive mode.
Okay.
Throughout the story, you play as a character named Ginya Arikado, and you team up with someone named Lucy to prevent Dracula's resurrection.
Holy, I know who those are.
So how is this going to control? Because if this is like just standard Castlevania, like side-scrolling, you got a D-pad, you hit a whip, and you jump every now and then, you throw some holy water, like, I don't see that controlling too well on a phone, especially if it's competitive.
Yeah, I have not actually seen any video of the game in action. Right now, it's in beta in Japan, and this is just going to be for iOS, so keep that in mind as well. It looks really nice. I think visually it looks really cool, but I'm not too stoked on the idea of playing Castlevania with a touchscreen.
Yeah, I just don't know how that's going to control. And maybe they figured something out, but I mean, a side-scrolling platformer type game on a phone hasn't really proven all that well. I think maybe the best they've ever done with something like that was like Mario Run, and at that point, that was, you know, a pretty far throw from a normal Mario game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. I need to go and see if I can find some video of the game in action, but I don't know if you're going to see any of that right now. Well, because E3, it's just in beta.
Check out our phone game. Oh, where's everybody going? Fine, we'll make Castlevania Survive. Come back. Oh,
don't do that either.
Or just Shadow 3. Anybody? Oh.
I would just make an actual Castlevania game.
I would be interested in Lords of Shadow 3. I'm not going to lie.
You know, we've recently heard talk about them bringing back their WiiWare line. What were those games called? Rebirth. The Rebirth series. With like Castlevania Adventure Rebirth that were all on WiiWare. There's been talk of them maybe possibly bringing those to modern consoles.
I don't really remember what those were.
Only one I played was the Castlevania one.
Was it just like like Castlevania 1 with like new textures or kind of stuff? Or was it something?
It was a remake of the Game Boy game.
Oh.
Done to look similar to like Super Castlevania 4. I really liked it.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. Like Castlevania Adventures was a game I never got around to playing, but I certainly got close to buying it several times.
Yeah, it was Castlevania Contra Gradius. There were four of them. And I can't remember the fourth one.
Life Force.
I don't think it was Life Force.
Dang it.
But yeah, and the only one that I remember playing was the Castlevania one. But those were really good games. I think those would be cool to see those come back. And those wouldn't be games that would be, you know, terribly financially, you know, hard to do, I think, for Konami.
Yeah, I'm just in such a weird place right now. With like, they're still making games, clearly, like Metal Gear Survive, and now they got this iOS thing with Castlevania coming out, which was Dawn of Rebirth. What did you call it? Rebirth of Sorrows?
Long Castlevania Road? Adventure Rebirth?
Now, what's the iOS one just now?
Oh, Grimoire of Souls.
Grimoire of Souls. That is a Castlevania-sounding name, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Also, I just came up with three other Castlevania titles by accident, so you're welcome, Konami.
So yeah, it was some short-lived excitement by Castlevania fans when this announcement came out. But there you go. That is the news for this week.
Slow news week.
Yep, So let's move on to listener feedback. And our first one this week comes from Daniel via Facebook. He wants to know, with all the talks and rumors of the PS5 and starting a new generation of consoles, where do you think the Switch lands on the generational spectrum of consoles? Is it Nintendo's second stab at the eighth generation, which would have been the Wii U, PS4, and Xbox One? Or has it prematurely kicked off the ninth in your eyes?
The whole console generation thing is so murky and stuff at this point, especially with like the PS Pro and the Xbox One X and stuff, but
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, I kind of stopped keeping track of that stuff. Like, once the time we hit, like, the PS3 or, the Dreamcast, Sega was always, like, halfway in between stuff. I don't know, it never really, the lines were never that clear to me in the first place.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of comes down to, like, what architecture are they starting with? But now everybody's, like, working on, like, whatever, the x86. I think people always say, like, basically PC architecture. I don't know.
I think with all three, if you're trying to find that generation label, we're sort of in generation 8.5 with all three of the main players. Because the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One are almost new consoles. I mean, they're sort of hampered by the fact that they still have to be able to, the games on those have to be able to be played on the stock PS4 and Xbox One. And I think with the Switch, it's just sort of a half step for them from, it's what the Wii U was sort of pitched as. That's what the Switch is. Well, and so I think
it's even more of a gray area because it's like them combining their console and handheld markets.
Handhelds
even were worse to follow in this whole, like, which generation thing. So, like, do you count it as the handheld generation or the console generation or both? Like, it's such an arbitrary thing for me to track, and I've never been comfortable really drawing the lines.
Yeah, I mean, with previous Nintendo stuff, it's always been like, okay, well, the NES was their first one. I mean, it's not the first generation of systems because that goes back to the Atari and around that.
Yeah.
Is the first generation. So, up until now with Nintendo, as far as their consoles, it's been pretty easy to say, okay, this is their next generation. This is their next generation. This is their next. But at this point, with all of them, it's almost, you can't say this is a new generation. It's more than their previous one, so it's really hard at this point.
It's only going to get harder, I think, too, as technology advances and, like, we see smaller steps. And, I mean, every now and then there'll be a bigger jump of stuff, I'm sure, but I don't know. I like the Switch. I think it's cool.
I do too.
We put it in the cool generation. How about that?
It's its own generation.
Generation.
It honestly feels to me like they're just doing their own generation now.
Yeah. So
just competing every console cycle. It's like, yeah, we'll release ours when it's ready.
You know, and before now, it's been sort of every 4 to 5 years. That's it. We're on, what, the sixth year for PS4 and Xbox One or something. Didn't those come out in 2012? Yeah, but
that's working really good for them because they released revisions of the console that were more powerful, not just like thinner models, but like more like PS4 Pro and Xbox One Xbox One X. I was about to say S, sorry.
No, it's so confusing. It's not your fault.
So, you know, you have these that are just more powerful versions of what they already are, but and Nintendo's just like, hey, here's this, and
even on top of all that, like the personal computers have been sitting over here. Hey, we run the most powerful stuff all the time, and nobody's really counting our steps. I don't know. Maybe somebody's out there saying like graphic card leaps and generations and stuff, but
yeah,
graphic cards fall into the, this is why computers are so expensive these days because of the Bitcoin mining.
Bitcoin, yeah. I feel
thanks, Bitcoin.
The generational gap stuff is kind of like genres. Like it's meaning less and less as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And you know, there's not really anything that defines this. you know, with the PS4 Pro and the Switch and the Xbox One versus the Wii U, the PS4 and the Xbox One. So, it's not like there's a huge difference. It's not, they're not super, you know, that much more powerful. I mean, they are, but it's not like the difference between the NES and the SNES to the N64 to the GameCube, where there were absolutely defined things that made those very different from the console that came before them.
So I was thinking the other day, I have a theory, and I haven't checked online to see if there's anything to substantiate this, but I kind of, and I imagine I'm probably not the first one to come to this conclusion, but I get the feeling that the Wii U, looking back on things now, was originally just supposed to be like a peripheral for the Wii. Like that tablet screen was just supposed to be something they sold, like, hey, this works with your Wii now.
Well, a lot of people thought that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It took me this long to come around to that conclusion. Like, I'm slow. I'm sorry. And, like, the Switch is finally, like, the realization. Like, all right, well, this is what we were working towards the whole time. This was just kind of our prototyping thing. And they just, for whatever reason, spun it out into its own system. And it went smashingly well for them.
Well, and that we may, down the line, some Nintendo exec comes out and says, yeah, the Wii U was a misstep. It was supposed to just be this sort of thing we were doing with the Wii to see how that would work and all of this. And the Switch was really what was supposed to be, you know, that next step past the Wii. You know, it won't be long until they're just going to wipe the Wii U from existence because everything on the Wii U is going to be on the Switch anyway.
Yeah. Over under on a Mario Maker announcement come E3.
I think the chances are good.
I think the chances are very good, yeah.
So, Mario Maker Switch.
I mean, there are not a ton of big Wii U games that aren't already on the Switch.
Of Nintendo's, definitely, yeah. Like, I think they've done all that stuff, like Bayonetta, Toad's now coming out, so Mario Maker's kind of the last big one. They're doing something Mario with Smash. Maker, like, I still suspect that they're going to do some sort of, like, half-step with Smash kind of thing and release, like, 100,000 more Amiibo. Oh, gosh.
We need Star Fox Zero on Switch.
Oh, yeah, like, I forgot about
that. People, good controls now.
Yeah, people didn't like that game. Maybe they'll just burst that one under the rug. I don't know. I bought that the other day. I need to play that.
Just give us controls that work. That's all they got to do.
Yeah, well, that's what I said for Uprising, but I'm still carrying that torch.
You think we get something like a new Supes collection on Switch?
I feel like sort of Mario collection, some sort of Mario Legacy collection, something like that is coming. That seems ripe. Something that has like
Galaxy
1 and 2, and hopefully Sunshine and stuff like that. I feel like some sort of 3D collection, like maybe Mario 64 with like some sort of new texture upgrade or something like that.
Mario 64 with the Odyssey engine?
Yeah, something like that. That would be super rad.
3D World and 3D Land, both of those.
Yeah, maybe they do it like in two parts. Like, oh, these games are here because you split those collections up. I don't know. That would be a lot of work. But that seemed like it would be a cool thing to kind of like, hey, Mario's got some cool games that a lot of people probably haven't played because they weren't alive when these games were first made. So
yeah.
And they've definitely, with those NES, with the classic editions of their stuff, they've certainly seemed to have been celebrating their legacy a little bit lately. So
yeah. So, well, there you go. Our next one comes from Sam via Facebook. This can't be real, can it? We got to talk about this. How do you feel about the Mercedes Amiibo car that was just announced by Nintendo? Personally, a real car as an Amiibo sounds cool, but I don't like having to run over my Switch in order to scan it. And this is not a real thing.
Yeah,
I cannot
Googling this before the show.
I cannot find anything about this. This has to be him just asking a question and goofing about stuff, because we've talked about car Amiibo in the past. I know we have.
I think he just wanted me to flip out live on the air. Well, haha, joke's on you. I flipped out live before we started recording.
Because we've talked about things like couches and clothes and cars and all of that stuff being turned into Amiibo.
Well structured. You threw in the Mercedes things like, well, they already did that Mario Kart 8 stuff, so maybe there's something there. Definitely, he got us.
I have not been able to find anything. I don't think this is a real thing. So
it better not be.
The only thing I'm getting is
how would I put a Mercedes in on my Amiibo shelf? I would just drop them all in the trunk. I'm not buying like an $80,000 car. How much is a Mercedes? Probably something ridiculous.
Probably. I've not priced Mercedes, so I don't really know.
I'm not selling my house to buy a Mercedes Amiibo car.
So,
I'm sure the bank is thrilled about that. You're still paying your mortgage and you want to do what? What's that?
I have to buy this Amiibo. What are you going to give us as collateral? All my other Amiibo.
Oh, no.
Just go to the dealership and like, yeah, I want to take a look at the Mercedes, and you pull out your Switch and
yo, check out this Mega Man. It's solid gold. Really? No.
That's just spray paint, sir.
No, it's not. He's gold. Look at him. It says gold Mega Man right here. Pay no attention to how light it is.
This is fool's gold.
You're a fool. Psych! Scan the car later.
And then lastly, Cole via Facebook says, with the release of more free DLC on Monster Hunter World, how will Ethan get back into Destiny 2 next month?
You know exactly how, Cole.
Is there something coming to Destiny 2 next month?
The new DLC is coming out next month.
Ah. Let's see.
They're throwing Devil Joe into it.
Oh.
I just assume every game that I don't play that Ethan plays a lot has a Devil Joe adding to it with DLC at some point or some sort of update.
I'm going to start naming my character Devil Joe so I can say yes.
Devil Joe on the moon. He's got a space helmet.
A dinosaur with a space helmet. That's cool. It's just a helmet. No suit. Just a helmet on his head. It's not even connected to anything.
He says, on a more relatable question, though, what game has the best soundtrack of all time?
Oh, well, of all time, sheesh.
That's hard to pin down, I think.
You know, I've really been enjoying, and I don't think it's the best of all time, that's a hard question to delve into, but I've been really enjoying the soundtrack for Blue Reflection. That game's got some really great music.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The soundtrack for Bullet Witch is the best ever.
Just orchestral stuff, like every other orchestral game, it all sounds the same.
They don't know that.
How about Project Diva Future Tone? Does that count?
Yeah, that's certainly a thing when you start talking like best of all time. Is like you kind of almost have to do it in two categories. Like, what's the best like licensed soundtrack, and what's the best like original score or original
Rock
soundtrack
Band 4.
Kind of, yeah, because you could start busting into some of those rhythm games that. Like, how could you say any soundtrack is better than Rock Band 4? It's like a collection of some of the greatest rock and roll hits and all these other genres of music from decades of whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of a lame cliche answer, but the Zelda series just overall.
I really like the soundtrack for Super Mario RPG.
Good, yeah. There's a lot of those old like Earthbound soundtracks, really good.
I really like the Twilight Princess soundtrack. I think if I had to pin one of the Zelda games down, it'd probably be that one.
The stuff that Nintendo's been doing recently with their orchestral stuff, like I like orchestral soundtracks and stuff, but at some point it kind of all sounds the same, especially out of context, which is why I don't necessarily use a lot of that stuff for the bumpers on the podcast. But the Nintendo stuff seems to be more, maybe because they're working off of recognizable melodies and stuff like that, but that stuff seems to be pretty great.
Galaxy 1, with that first soundtrack they did with an orchestra, is fantastic. Good.
And I'm sure the people that know more about music can recognize the stuff more, but at some point to me it sounds a little samey for, and maybe that's just a sign of it not being quality, I don't know. I'm thinking of the Bullet Witch orchestral soundtrack, of course. But I don't know, but if like you try to play me something from like the Monster Hunter orchestral stuff versus like something from from Bayonetta, their orchestral stuff, if it even has that music, I don't even know. Like, I probably couldn't tell the difference.
So
to answer your question, Tetris. Moving on.
Yep, Tetris, that's it. So that will be the show for this week.
Oh.
So if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show this week.
I didn't prepare a quote this week.
And Shelby, as always, thank you for co-hosting this craziness.
It's like Ethan said, if this whole Mercedes Amiibo thing did happen, like, can you imagine the whatever Mercedes dealers I find around here, like, Coulter's back again. You want to test drive a car? Yeah, we know. Here, just scan the stinking bumper and get out of our store.
Thanks.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
Okay.
Welcome back.
All right. I'm agree.
Okay.